you have a mortal body. Yeah, you spend too much time thinking about your mortal body, paying attention to what your mortal body has to say. But you have a mortal body. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God is making alive your mortal body. And so if He is making alive your mortal body, then please understand this, that every moment that you live, healing is manifesting in your body. The fact that you're here today, the fact that you got out of bed this morning, the fact that you do whatever it is you do, if you move one muscle in your body, healing is manifesting in you every moment of every day. That's the finished work of Jesus. It's still manifesting today. And so here's what happens, and I hate to use this example because of Sister Francis, but if you have one knee that's hurting you, do you know what people do? They focus on the one knee that's hurting them instead of the one knee that's not hurting them. What about saying, praise the Lord, I have a knee that's not bothering me. Praise the Lord, I have at least one finger I can move that's not overrun with arthritis. Praise the Lord, I can still turn my head. Praise the Lord, I can still lift my fingers if I can barely lift a hand and give praise to Jesus. And we focus on the negative so much, we create a mindset within ourselves, and that mindset becomes a dominant thought pattern that says, look at how bad it is. And we testify of how bad it is. Hey, I want you to put up this morning, well, that's good. I will exalt you, my God, every day. Somebody say that with me. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever, which means I will focus on the good and not the things that's not working. Isn't that amazing? Right from the Bible. Sister Faye, before I start my lesson today, would you please go to Romans chapter 8, and I want to read verses 31 through all the way to the end. I got to read this to you because I felt prompted to share this with you. We're not going to dig out all the Greek and Hebrew words today for Pastor Jimmy. We'll do that in just a little bit. But I just want to show you that sometimes when we read the Bible, when we read the word love, we think of, oh, I got to love people more. If I could just love myself more. If I could just love others more. And we forget that the Bible is not written about your love. The Bible was written about His love. This is the message of His love for you. And we fail to see that sometimes. Starting in verse 31, and we'll just read it out of the King James. What shall we then say to these things? That's all the stuff above that you can read some other time. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is on your side, one translation says, if God is on your side, who would dare stand against you? We need to get that mindset in us. And then he says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What are the things you need? He promises that you have all things. All right, next verse. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who would point the finger at you that it really makes a difference? People point the finger at you, you get down, you get discouraged and say, everybody's against me. But you forgot about the one that counts who is not against you, but He's on your side. It is God that justifies us. Justify, never sin. That's the position we were placed in. Who is he that condemneth? Who's pointing the finger at you? Who's condemning? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, even when people's condemning you. Don't allow condemnation to enter into your system. Next verse. Who shall separate us? What shall separate us? Is there something that can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? How many have had tribulation? Let me translate the word tribulation for you. Pressure. Have you had some pressure? Shall pressure? No. How about distress? No. How about persecution? No. How about famine? Deal without some food or not having all your needs met? No. How about nakedness? Not having all the clothes you want to wear that actually fit us right? No. How about peril? No. How about the sword? Those piercing things that hurt so bad? No. They will not separate us from the love of God. Here's a quote out of the Old Testament. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now hold it there a moment. This is a quote out of the Old Testament, and this is the mindset that people have. This is not what God was saying. Paul interjected that to show you that you might have this mindset, but we just read where God has a different mindset. Next verse. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why? Through Him that loved us. How are we conquerors? Because He loved us. It's His love that causes us to be conquerors. Is there another verse? For I am persuaded. Now, that's a good question. Are you persuaded? Persuaded is like faith. Faith in some instances means that which you are persuaded of or convinced of. Are you convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, speaking of demonic activity there, nor things present or things to come, what you're dealing with right now, what you might deal with tomorrow. Next verse. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature that comes up at some point in time shall be able, does not have the power to, separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to know today that God loves you. What you're dealing with right now is not by the will of God. It's by the will of an enemy who has convinced people in their thinking that I've got to go through this. I was praying for someone recently and said, you can walk out of this, you can be healed, you don't have to do that. And the person said to me, I have to go through this. Now, I'm not saying that to be critical this morning. I'm just saying we have certain mindsets and we live by those mindsets. But I'll tell you, there's a mindset we ought to have, and that's the mind of Christ, the mindset of the Lord. So, Pastor Jimmy, we talked yesterday on Skype a little bit. He wouldn't let me see him. I don't know what's up with that. But he said, I think you need to preach tomorrow. It'll do you good. I thought, what's wrong with me? So immediately it just jumped up in me, preach about healing. So I want to share with you about healing. We're going to get a little bit deep into this morning. It's a shorter version of what I would normally do. And we're going to talk about some Greek words and where they come from, how this was formed. And I just want to deal with one simple subject. Now, don't take me wrong what I'm going to say, but I was glad to see Sister Velma come in here this morning on a walker. Yeah. I'm preaching on healing. Walkers, wheelchairs. We were praying for a young man last night that is a high school student. He had a football accident, and he's paralyzed in a wheelchair. Can't get out of it. But he believes he's not sick. He believes he's not paralyzed. He's paralyzed naturally in a wheelchair. He believes he's not paralyzed. He believes he's healed by the stripes of Jesus. You know how unique it is to pray for people that already believe they're healed? Not going to get healed. Because I want to make a statement this morning, and I don't want you to get mad at me. If you disagree with me, go home and study it out. But you're never going to get healed. You are healed. It's a matter of a mindset. Your mindset or your position versus his mindset or his position. And I want to talk to you about that today. So I simply call this today, healing belongs to you. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 34, and we'll get started this morning. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And I may not see Bob Lowry, but we release a healing word. We send a healing word to Bob Lowry this morning. And in the name of Jesus, we just speak to every fiber of his being and command them to respond to the Spirit of God, the life-giving Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, that quickens his mortal body right now. We speak and release healing to him in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, the centurion, said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but just speak a healing word only, and my servant shall be healed. And within the hour, his servant was made whole. And that was before the cross. Ha ha. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, we're going to see it out of the King James, but on your notes it will be out of the New King James unless otherwise specified. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality.'" How many know that God is not partial? He doesn't do favors for one and then punishes others and says you can't have the same healing. There was a day when people said healing, God only heals some people and the rest He just leaves sick. There was a day when people said it's God's will to make people sick so to keep them humble. Someone told me one time, said God caused you to have a back injury so he could process you. I wonder what He was processing me into. But of course, that was not true. That was not the will of God or the plan of God. You can't have a correct revelation of truth apart from a relationship with Father God. I'm not talking about that you can't have a miracle. I'm saying you can't have a revelation of truth if you really don't understand the relationship that you need to be having with your Heavenly Father. And that we'll mix that into that this morning. All right, verse number 35. "But in every nation..." This word "nation" is translated to mean actually multitude or company of people. How many know we're in a company of people this morning? So in every nation, in every company of people, whoever fears God, or the word "fears" here is, it almost looks like phobia in the English language, but it's phobeo, which means to frighten, that is to be alarmed, to be in awe, that is to reverence or to revere God, to have a reverence for God. It doesn't mean to be afraid of God, to be frightened of God, or to be afraid of what... If people... The Bible says in 1 John 4, and I can't give you the verse at the moment, I think it's verse 7, but he says this, if people fear God, it's because they don't understand that He loves them. Amen. And whoever works righteousness, this word righteousness, different from other words of righteousness, just means, it's the Greek word ergazomai, meaning to walk out your righteousness. How many know we're made righteous in Christ Jesus? But how many know there's times we don't feel very righteous? So we're still walking it out so that we will one day come to the place that we know we're the righteousness of God. It doesn't matter what the devil's hollering about. Not that we care anyway. Isn't that right, Pastor Jimmy? We don't care what the devil says. We don't care what demons been assigned against us today. It does not matter. When Jesus dealt with that in Luke chapter 4, do you know what happened? At the end of a few temptations, the devil left for a season. He got tired of saying, "I'm really trying to mess this Jesus up, but he just won't play along." You know, you don't have to play along with the devil. I woke up this morning and got a crick in my back. I woke up this morning and a leg hurt. I woke up this morning and my head hurt. You don't have to play along. If he can, he will paralyze you in your thinking. Remember what the Bible said, that the devil comes as or like a roaring lion. The Bible does not call him a roaring lion. He comes as one. Now here's the scenario that's painted there in the Greek language. A lion will come up behind its prey from behind. Can you imagine? This great ferocious king of the beast will come up behind its prey and roar really loud. And what the roar does is it paralyzes its prey. Can you imagine the king of the beast has got to paralyze its prey before he can actually pounce on them? Sneak up on him. We're not afraid of the devil's roar. How many of you ever heard the devil's roar before? How many of you have heard it a lot of times? It's time for the church to stop paying attention to the devil's roar and to pay attention to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. It says that those that work righteousness is accepted by Him. That's the position we've been given. Verse 36, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all." That word, Paul says to these people, that word you know, which was or has been past tense, proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, which after the baptism which John preached. Now let me ask you a question here. Do you remember any story in the Gospels about someone that was baptized and then immediately began to preach in Galilee and in all Judea? I think his name was Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 38, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. When did Jesus do this? Back then. And let me just say this, I just feel like saying this morning, that you do realize that it's been well over 2,000 years since Jesus died and rose again. We're not supposed to be here according to some theological doctrines. We're supposed to be gone. There's not supposed to be an earth here anymore. We're supposed to be gone at 2,000 years. However, we're past that. And I would say to you that we are in a day of a great millennial reign, and we should be have a mindset of reigning as kings and priests with Him. You're a king. You're a priest of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take on a reigning mindset. Do you know what a king would say? What I say goes. You know what you ought to be saying? What I say goes. I got it from him. You know, the guy that was once there. But he's not there anymore. I don't wear crosses that have Jesus on them because he's not on the cross anymore. Amen. But if I can ever find a cross where Jesus is was standing in front of the cross with his hands raised in victory, I'll get that one. This word that Peter speaks of began to be proclaimed after the baptism of that John the Baptist preached. And it was under the ministry of John the Baptist that Jesus was baptized. But not only was he baptized in water, but he was also on that day baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he began his earthly ministry. My recommendation to ministers is don't start a ministry until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. With the Holy Ghost and with power. I want you to know that power comes along with Holy Ghost baptism. You can't separate them. But what we want to know is, what does this power do? Now, we're going to kind of talk about one side of that power today concerning healing. But the Bible says this in that last verse we read, that Jesus immediately began to heal all those who were oppressed by the devil. I just want to ask you a question this morning, and I've been there and I know the answer, but how many of you ever had a really, really, really hard day or two or a week in your physical body and you just felt really great? I mean, like, I'm going to get up and go sweep the sidewalks off of the snow. I'm going to go shovel snow today. Just as sick as you could be. You didn't feel good. You kind of felt kind of down. You kind of felt oppressed. You kind of just didn't feel real good about the situation. And Jesus says that people that are sick are oppressed by the devil. That doesn't mean you're mentally destroyed, but it just means that I've got a mindset that says, I just don't really feel good today. That happens, okay? It ain't going to happen forever, but that happens. You know, when we talk about that not going to happen forever thing, some people don't buy that. That when we're going to live forever... My doctor actually agreed with me. He challenged me to outlive Methuselah. I said, I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed because God said so. And he said, amen. Yeah. So, immediately, Jesus began to go around doing good. I want to tell you that the harvest field is not in this building. The harvest field is outside these four walls. Jesus, if there were a four-wall type scenario, he went outside the four walls and he began to do good and he began to heal all who were oppressed by the devil. It is a good thing to get people healed who are filled with a sense of oppression, as in being overwhelmed by affliction. I can tell you that getting around with a walker or getting around with a wheelchair, somebody's got to load and unload that wheelchair. I can tell you it's not a good feeling. It gives you a sense of, I'm just overwhelmed by the thing I'm going through. When you've got back pain or you've got stomach pain or you've got something that's kind of chronic going on, it's just an overwhelming feeling. And the mission is to get you down in the dumps so you will not even say, Father, I thank you that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. What you might say, well, we're supposed to give thanks to God for everything, so thank you, Lord, that I'm sick. Do you hear how dumb that sounds? But do you know that Christians do that? It sounds dumb for a real good reason. It is dumb. I mean, thank you, Jesus, I just got my leg cut off. That don't make no sense. I mean, I was at the hospital when Pastor Jimmy was there. He was just jumping up and down and saying, thank you, Jesus, for a heart attack. No, he didn't do that. He was arguing that he didn't agree with the heart attack. He didn't agree with the doctor, and that's okay. He's a man after my own heart. So I want you to know today that God is on your side. And I think that's why the Lord had me read those scriptures in the book of Romans today. He's on your side, and He is for you, and He will never be against you. And I like what Pastor Jimmy said this morning, you're never alone even if you think you are alone. Let me tell you why. Hebrews 13 verse 4 and 5 tells us that I will never leave you. I will never leave you. I, my wife, when I married her, and I might get in trouble for this after the service, but I'm going to go ahead and say this. When we first got married, and it was for many years, she just was a very insecure individual. And I would tell her, look, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going nowhere. I'll be married to you forever. I don't know if that made her feel good or made her feel bad. I'm going to be around forever. And it took a long time to convince her, and now she knows, no matter what happens, good or bad, I ain't going nowhere. Well, do you know that God just, He didn't go around trying to convince you. He just said, I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you. And He expects you to believe what He says to be the truth. Can you imagine? God tells the truth. We actually serve a God that tells the truth. I'll never leave you. You can bank on that. He'll never leave you. Therefore, if you're having a problem with loneliness, go to Hebrews 13 and read. He said, I'll never leave you. All right, now, what we see in this is that God's will for you is to be healed and free from the oppression that comes along with affliction. Jesus finished His work. How many know Jesus did what He said He would do and He finished it? That means it's complete. That means He'll never come back and do that work again. He will never take another stripe for you. He will never shed another drop of blood for sin. He will never pay for peace of mind again. He will never go into a grave again. He will never have a resurrection again. It's done. And He did it for you. Everything that the sacrifice of Jesus bought, it was purchased for you. If you'd have been one person in this world, He did it for you. And one of the benefits of His sacrifice is healing, which was paid for when He took stripes upon His back. I honestly don't believe it took His death for healing to be paid for. I believe healing was paid for when He took those stripes. You know what He was doing prior to that? Getting people healed. Sometimes He would say, as your faith is, so be it unto you. Sometimes He would say, take up your bed and walk, and as you go on your way, you'll be healed. Sometimes He'd say, I'm going to put mud in your eye, and you go find a pool somewhere and wash it out, and your blind eyes will be restored. Sometimes He did some things that were completely off the charts, and people got healed. Yet we have our little formal, got to come forward, got to be at church, got to be the pastor, got to anoint me with oil, got to lay hands on me, otherwise I will not be healed. A man one time came up for prayer. Maybe some of you don't remember when I walked, bent over. I wasn't here at this church, but there was a man that was in that situation. He was in a car wreck and something happened to his back and he was permanently fused in that position. He believed that he was going to get healed. So he came forward in the healing service we were conducting down in St. Francis County, I believe it was. And he said, I'm coming to get healed. He said, but I know I won't be healed. I had a dream, and there's this woman minister that prayed for me in the dream, and if that woman minister doesn't pray for me, I will never get healed. You know what we did? We switched our adoration and our worship from Jesus to somebody else. Because if that person doesn't do it, it won't happen. And we idolize our ministers sometimes. Yeah. See, I don't usually call anybody and say, my body's giving me trouble. I just talked to Jesus. Lord, you said, by your stripes I'm healed. You did that when you took stripes on your back. I'm not waiting for a healing to manifest. I'm not playing this game. I am not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed because God said so. This was when he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Look at Isaiah 53 and verse 5. What a wonderful, wonderful verse of Scripture. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Look at the next verse, the New Living Translation. But he was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped and we were healed. What a deal. That's why you don't have to be beaten to get healed. You don't have to suffer to get a healing. As a matter of fact, if anybody here today believes that it's the will of God for you to be sick sometimes, let me ask you a question. If God's will, not say you do, but if you did, anyone here, if you believe that sometimes God just lets you go through things so you get sick because he's trying to teach you a lesson, if you believe that, let me ask you a question. Why do you go to the doctor and tell the doctor, I'm sick, I need to get well, I need some medicine, I need something that will help me because it's the will of God for me to be sick, but yet I'm going against the will of God to go to the doctor and get healed? The doctor will tell you, I'm not the healer, I'm the helper. I've had many doctors tell me that. All right, the next verse, the God's Word translation. He was wounded for our rebellious acts. Any of you, before you got born again, had some rebellious acts? Let me ask you a question. Anybody you, after you got born again, had some rebellious acts? and he paid for them. He was wounded for our rebellious acts. He was crushed for our sins. He was punished so that we could have peace and we received healing from his wounds. Let me ask you a question. How many of you ever been punished and felt peace about it? How many know those two just don't go together? Yes, sir. All of this is past tense. Amen. And even if you experience sickness in the present tense, it was paid for in the past tense. We got to get that, folks. All right, let's look at the Amplified. Just part of this verse. It says, the punishment required for our well-being fell on him. Do you get that? That's passive. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him. And by his stripes or wounds, we are healed. Not might be, not will be, but we are healed. Now let's look at the New Covenant counterpart in 1 Peter 2, verse 24. We're reading this from the NIV. I rarely read from the NIV, but I love this translation for this verse. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree or the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Now there's a semicolon next, and the semicolon or a hyphen in some other translations, means the following is because of the preceding statement. Check that out. The following, what we're about to read, is because of what we just read. Here's the rest of it. By his wounds, you have been healed. Now, you might say to me this morning, Dr. Bill, I just can't dive with that verse because I don't feel healed. I made a statement. Danny Phillips was on my show while I was in Kansas on Kingdom Dynamics, and I made a statement that just leaked out of me, and I just kind of clung to it ever since, that said, what you feel in the natural will never be greater than the truth you know. What you feel, I don't feel healed, I feel sick. What you feel in the natural will never be greater than the truth you know. But too many times, the things we declare about our feelings is because we don't understand the truth to counteract that. So we got to know the truth. Why do you think Pastor Jimmy preaches over an hour sometimes? Why do you think Dr. Bill always preaches under an hour? Why do you think I'm preaching 6 or 7 hours a week? Well, the thing is we got to know the truth. We've got to dig into the Scriptures and uncover its truths, because it's by them that we live. We live by the sword, we die by the sword. We live by the Word, we'll live by the Word. You all thought I was going to say die by the Word, didn't you? We live by the Word. So, first of all, let me just say this, that every person who has been born again must come to terms with certain biblical facts or truths about healing. Now, just because I've come to terms with some things about healing, and I teach on it a lot, and I've come to terms a long time ago, doesn't mean I know everything about healing. I'm still learning. But I love the subject of healing, and here's one of my reasons why. Not just because of what I've faced, but because so much of the body of Christ deals with sickness. Too many in the body of Christ. No condemnation, folks. But you see, the plan of God is not for you to be sick. The will of God is not for you to be sick. Sister Thelma, I remember when I was on a walker. I remember when I had a brace on my leg. I remember when I had a dozen back braces. I remember when I went the wheelchair. I remember the hospital bed in our home. I remember all of that stuff. I remember when I was paralyzed from the waist down. I remember all of that. But I don't live there, and I rarely revisit it, because that's not me. What is the truth that supersedes all of that? It's the fact that I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I live by that. So here's what's happening to me. I don't know if you noticed that foot surgery a few weeks ago, and I'm wearing shoes today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I can't tell you honestly that my feet feel like wearing shoes. And here's one of the reasons why. I really haven't had anything pressing in my feet in there for a couple of years. So it's like getting used to a new hat, guys, or something. You know, it just takes a little time. But the thing is I've informed my feet that they're not the sick trying to get healed. They're the healed because God said so. Do you ever talk to your body? Now, I don't mean like say, oh, my hip hurts. Oh, my poor kidney. Oh, my heart aches. Oh, my toe aches. I'm not talking about having an organ recital. Somebody got that. My kidney hurts, my heart hurts, my liver hurts. Okay, you'll get it later. The thing is that it's important to understand that healing belongs to you. It belongs to you as much as anything else that you have in your possession. And honestly, you probably need this more than you need your house, more than you need your car, more than you need your bank account, more than you need your friends or family. You need to know that healing belongs to you. I've had too many family members that would say, why don't you just quit preaching and why don't you just be sick? Why don't you quit trying and why don't you just sit in a chair and play with the remote all day? And I could have. I could have. I wouldn't be here. And I wouldn't be able to come up here and tell you about how bad it is. Pastor Jimmy wouldn't let me do that. But I can tell you how good it is, because the gospel is good news. How many know how you feel is not always good news? You ever went and told somebody about how you felt? It wasn't. It's rarely good news. But the gospel is good news. We've embraced the gospel because it's the words of Jesus. And the gospel says you are healed. So it's important to understand that healing belongs to you today, right now. Not tomorrow, but now. And we receive it or accept it by faith in the completed work that Jesus did. He Himself completed it. His finished work was finished over 2,000 years ago. Now, I personally believe, it's just me, nobody else has to believe this, based on my studies, I believe we've entered into the 7,000th year, the day of the Lord. What in Bible prophecy is a 7,000th year, or a 1,000 years rather, a millennial reign, reigning with Christ? The way I read the book of Revelation, we reign with Christ now. We reign. And does it say that He reigns forever and ever? Guess what? With Him, we reign forever and ever. How long is forever? Forever. But you just act like you're never going to die, not planning on it. You act like you're just going to get better and get one of them immortal bodies and live forever. That's what I'm planning on. Do you know that Jesus went to a grave? He died for us. We were buried with Him. He arose and we arose in newness of life. And He came out of that with a new body. What kind of body? The kind of body we're supposed to be transformed into. Metamorphosed into. How do you do that? Face to face. I've got an encounter with God. I'm being transformed. The things that I don't understand are being changed, even though I don't understand them. 2,000 years ago, yet no one can receive the benefits of what He did unless we put faith in what has already been done. It's done. That's a hard one to do, look in the mirror and say, it's done. It's already done. I'm being changed. It's done. Transformed. I see the end from the beginning. I see my health better. I see my life better. I see my finances better. If you don't see it better, you're going to keep seeing it like it is and calling it like it is instead of calling those things to be not as though they already are. All right, let's look at another passage. Where does sickness come from? Let's look at Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. And we probably have read these before, but let's tear it apart this morning. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Now, He, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. I told someone one time that Jesus went to church. And man, did I get called all kinds of stuff. Jesus didn't go to church. We are the church. Well, I know we're the church. I get it. But we customarily designed this plan of saying buildings we go to are the church. So Jesus went to church. So it's right there in Scripture. Don't argue with me. He went to the synagogue, but much more formal than this. Verse 11. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. She had ekeo, meaning to have, to own, or to possess. She possessed a spirit of infirmity. Not only that, the spirit of infirmity got permission to possess her. That's why we hear people say, my back aches. When did we ever become so great, so mighty, that we now own affliction? You're not the owner of affliction. Even if you're currently dealing with it, or it's even just trying to get a hold of you, you don't own that affliction. She had a spirit of infirmity. This is the Greek word asthenia. It means a weakness or a feebleness of sickness or of health. And the Bible usage of this word can mean a lack of understanding in the soul about what she was dealing with. Now that's powerful. I got to come back to that sometime and preach that because that'll preach. She had a lack of understanding in her soul about the thing that was trying to take her over. You know what a lack of understanding is? It's my body says I'm sick, but Jesus says I'm healed and I just don't get it. It's a lack of understanding. People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. People are destroyed for a lack of prophetic vision. Explain. And 666 is not the mark of the Antichrist. The 666 is the mindset of man. It's the mindset of man. And 6 is the mindset of man. 6 is the number of man. 666 is the mindset of man on steroids. I'm convinced. I'm sick. Don't tell me I'm not sick. Don't you tell me I got problems. Some people say I'm sick and I'm going to die. Don't you tell me I'm not going to die. Don't you tell me I don't have cancer and I'm going to die. Well, we can believe whatever we want to believe. Isn't that right? I just choose to believe that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody upset this morning, but I just want you to know the Bible says something different than the mindset many of us had in our lives. 18 years and was bent over. Sukupte. Bent over. Do you know what this word means? She was actually, let me just read it. I think it's here. To completely overcome by something, or to bow, or to bend together, or completely forward. Now, when I was bent over for about 3 years, I was bent at a 90-degree angle. But this woman was bent all the way together. Can you imagine how difficult it would be to get around like that? It was hard to get around like that if I were walking. But to be bent completely in half, it would be difficult. And you know what happened in 18 years? You know what happened in 3 years? A lot of bones said, this is comfortable for me. A lot of nerve endings and muscles and things said, this is comfortable for me. My body said, we like it this way. There's no pain this way. This woman like this, 18 years, her body would say, yeah, we've gotten used to this. Let's just keep this going on. Who would want to stay that way if there was a remedy that would be 100% sure? Okay. Boy, that's good stuff. And could in no wise raise up herself. In other words, she could not unbend herself under her own power or ability. Verse 12. But when Jesus saw her, there's always good news in the Word of God. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Now, here's what the Greek says. This is the Greek word. Jesus loosed her. It's the Greek word apolluo, meaning to fully free. Now, keep in mind, I want to show you a picture here because I don't know who you think you work for. You don't work for yourself. You work for God. Okay, are you with me? We're all in full-time ministry no matter what you do throughout your week. You're in full-time ministry. And at any moment, there may come someone in your presence and a prompting, just the anointing just leaps in you and you speak, woman or man, you are loosed from your infirmity. Now, here's what happened. This says that he released her. He dismissed the problem. He pardoned her affliction. Can you imagine saying, I release you from your affliction? Well, no one would do that without praying first and asking Jesus to do it. He already did it. I'm still convinced that when Jesus said to his disciples, go preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand or the kingdom of heaven is within you, heal the sick. I'm convinced that that's what he meant to do. I release you from your infirmity. I know I'm doing that in the name of Jesus. I know I'm doing that under the authority of God. And, you know, let's get him healed and then we preach to him and disciple him a little bit. All right, verse 13. And he laid his hands on her. Here's what happened. Watch this. And immediately, she was made straight. And what did she do? Glorified God. Now, can you imagine someone that's dealing with a chronic affliction and you go up to them and say, I release you from your infirmity. And immediately they're made whole. What do you think they're going to do? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy upon me, Master. I mean, that's the way I see it. Verse 14. Religion always tries to get in the way. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath. Now, you're laying there terminally ill, dying of cancer. The doctor says you just got a few hours and you're not going to make it. But it's a Sunday. We can't help you on a Sunday. So if you're going to die in a few hours, you're just going to go ahead and die. Now, you say you can't cure cancer. No, but Jesus can. And I want to tell you that I've seen many people cured of cancer. Healed of cancer. Cancers just disappear. Knots and lumps disappear. X-rays prove that cancer disappeared. You say, that can't happen. Well, I saw it. I once saw an eyeball grow in a baby's head that was born without an eyeball. I've seen broken bones. They had to immediately go to the doctor and get the cast off because the bones mended that weren't supposed to mend. I've seen backs that were out of whack just like to go like and come back into place. I've seen spines that were crooked start popping. You can hear the popping of the bones. God gave them a supernatural chiropractic adjustment. I mean, we prayed for a crippled baby once and its arm just shot out, made whole. I've seen those things. So that just means you can't tell me that healing doesn't work. Even if religion gets mad, you can't do that on a Sunday. You didn't hold your mouth right. You didn't pray in the right name. You didn't do it right. You didn't call the elders of the church and anoint them with oil and do it right. You can send a healing word from across the room and they can be healed. So, let's look at verse 15. The Lord answered him, this ruler of the synagogue, and said, "Hypocrite!" Sunday morning, I took my son-in-law trying to scope out a church for them. We went to a church. The name of it was New Life Praise and Worship. I thought, cool. Really nice building, metal building. Really nice place. That ought to be a cool church. So we get in there. Worship is okay. And there's some good charismatic songs as well as some older songs. And that was fine. And then they had communion, and that went fine. But everything was kind of real formal. The ushers come up evenly, walked evenly, stood evenly. One prayed over something else, and someone took prayer requests. Same person does it all the time, and all that's fine. And then the pastor got up, and I'm not trying to be critical, and we're not live this morning, but he preached on Daniel chapter 5 about how bad it is. And how bad it's going to get. Never mentioned one thing that Jesus did. Never talked about a new covenant principle. Only Daniel chapter 5. And how bad we're going to have it. And when the end comes, finally it's going to be over. Some people ain't going to like it. I told my son-in-law, I said, "What'd you think?" He said, "I liked every bit of it up till the preaching." Come to find out, it was just a Christian church. You know, the organization of the Christian church. And he had gone to one before in another town. I thought, well, this is really going to be cool. I'll get them going to church in this little town of about 2,000 people. So I don't know what they're going to do. But good people, good children's program, good fellowship. But, man, I just got to have some word that lifts me up. Yeah. Do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? And when he said these things, all, everybody say all, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing. We ought to stop reading this Bible like it's already done and there's nothing else to be done, that we can't do anything. Yes, Jesus did his work. And on my Facebook page, I have a big picture. If you've never been on my timeline, I have a big picture of a world map with names all over. There's Russian, African, and so on. And right in the middle is a picture of me pointing my finger. And the caption says, "Jesus finished his work so you can do yours." I'll advertise that forever. I'm not with Facebook. Facebook's with me. We're preaching the gospel to the world. We're talking about an organization that, just like with the actor Will Smith supported the Muslims, has repented of that and has stopped Muslim activity on Facebook. That doesn't mean a Muslim can't have a Facebook page. A Muslim who... Let me just stop there. But the truth is this. We're preaching the gospel. Social media, the grocery store, on the internet, however you can, share Jesus with somebody. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, something to this effect, that if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Jesus will not step foot on the earth again in his physical form and preach the gospel to the world. He has stepped foot on the earth in you to preach the gospel to the world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the first thing we want to learn here is that it's always important to be reminded of where sickness comes from. When you're dealing with something, I want to know where it comes from. This sickness manifested as a spirit of infirmity, which means it was a demonic activity, and it came from Satan. Because Jesus said, "Whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years." So we have clear evidence where affliction came from, and there's many other scriptures. Second of all, we want to see that religion will always oppose the true work of God. Religion will always get mad and say, "You can't do it that way." When I do a video on the YouTube, on one of my broadcasts, I'll be honest with you, I get more negative comments than I do positive comments on my YouTube channel. Do you have to preach that stuff? Will you ever shut up? I get cuss words on there. I get, this is false doctrine on there. All I want somebody to do is say, look, here's a Bible verse that counteracts what you're saying, and I'll pay attention to the word. But nobody does that. It's just to give me harassment, and if I pay attention to that, I get distracted from what I'm doing. So I can't even pay attention to that. So religion will always oppose the true work of God, as we see in this ruler of the synagogue or of the church, it could be. But the righteous, how many know we're righteous? Not righteous because we made ourselves righteous, but righteous because He made us righteous. He made us holy and without blame before Him in love. So we should always embrace healing and recognize where affliction comes from. Did not come from God, comes from the devil. I don't know about you, but I'm not putting up with what the devil tries to do. Why? Because I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed because God said so. So the only way to counteract religion is to know and believe the truth. All right, let's look at Matthew 8, verse 17. We're getting close to the end this morning. Matthew 8, verse 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities. I want to highlight on this morning because this is a quote from Isaiah 53:4. And the Greek New Testament says these words, He, the infirmities of us, got, or it's also translated, took. He, the infirmities of us, took. So here's the thing. If Jesus took them, hear me this morning. Don't get under condemnation. Don't get mad at me, but just hear me this morning. If Jesus took them, then why do God's people claim to have them and call them their own? It's not mine. It's not yours. As a matter of fact, when I have something going on in my body, this is what I do. Now, you might think this is really dumb, but I'm going to let you in on one of my secrets. I envision the devil, whatever form he is, okay? I envision him with boils and sores and bent over and on a cane and a crutch and crippled and braces. And I envision him just having the worst day anyone could ever have. And then I say, ha, 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 ha. It's yours. It's not mine. I know. You can answer, I didn't get one amen. You think that's really dumb. It's okay. I do it anyway. I do it anyway. So it's not your sickness, not your pain, not your headache, not your problem. If you think it is, then give it over to Jesus and he'll take care of it for you. Praise the Lord. Do you know how we got all that stuff? Through what's called involuntary participation. Through Adam. Through human weakness of the flesh or through sin. And that means it's no longer yours because Jesus took it away. All right, one more scripture in Isaiah 53:4 that we just gave reference to. It says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Hebrew literally says it this way, Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. So that means whatever you have been diagnosed with, whether it's a sickness or a disease, Jesus already carried it in His own body. In other words, He suffered it in His own body so you don't have to suffer it in your body. You say, then, Dr. Joe, why are so many people sick? I would say, here's my best answer, an incorrect mindset that we have been taught in church. Yeah, that's right. Not all of it, but to a great degree, that's where I learned it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been in church my whole life, but I really haven't had a chance to learn anything anywhere else. Every negative, false doctrine, every word that really isn't even in line with Scripture, I learned it in church. That's where you learn what? You learn to die in church. Well, I'm glad I learned to die in the Bible, finally. It took some time, but I learned that I died in Him. Hallelujah. He took them away. Everybody say, Jesus took all sickness away. All disease away. So what did Jesus take away? All right, here's the bottom line today, folks. He took your legal right to carry sickness and disease in your body. When you carry sickness and disease, you're carrying it illegally. How many knows if you're doing something illegal, it's a good thing to repent and stop doing it? Amen. Come on. It's not yours. You ought to tell somebody today, it's not mine. It doesn't belong to you. All right, let me give you four things really, really fast. Four things that we need to practice. Number one, get in the Word. Pastor Jimmy made a statement this morning that I didn't agree with, and I won't publicly say I didn't agree with him. He said he needed to get in the Word more. I don't know anybody that's in the Word as much as he is, maybe other than myself, but I thought, you need to get in the Word more? Well, go ahead, brother. It'll do you good. It does the body good. Here's what I want to say about getting in the Word. Take it like preventative medicine for your flesh. Did you hear that? How many know that sometimes you're not on prescriptions, but you'll take vitamins and supplements, preventative medicine. Cold season's coming. They're rushing to get a flu shot. Now, I get a flu shot every year. No condemnation about that. There was a time that my immune system was practically destroyed because of everything I went through. So I get an immune shot. I know they're injecting me with a virus, the virus that I just may have got passed. I understand. But take the Word of God like preventative medicine for your flesh. If you need to, take it 3 times a day, every 8 hours. I'm not going to let anybody tell me not to take my medical prescription 8 hours a day because it says right there on the Bible, take 3 times a day. That's every 8 hours. My doctor's right. I'm going to take that 3 times. And I'm not against your doctor. You ought to take it 3 times a day if that's the way it was prescribed. And don't take it when you feel like taking it and skip several days and then take it again when you're not feeling. Take it every day until you finish the thing. That's good medical advice from the pulpit. But also, take the Word of God. If you got to take it 3 times a day, take it 3 times a day. Look at those healing scriptures. By whose stripes I have been healed. Take them. Look at them. All right, number two, spend time in prayer and communication or fellowshipping with God. Fellowship with Jesus often. If you're one of those people that go on vacation and leave Jesus at home, don't do that. Don't do that. Take Him. He's with you anyway, so you might as well talk to Him. See, here's my thing. Prayer is simply communication between two people in love. Do you love Him? He certainly loves you. He's not mad at you. He is mad about you. He's crazy about you. He loves you. So communicate with Him. Now, I'm all for formal prayer. If we want to have a church prayer meeting every week, let's have a prayer meeting. Let's scream to high heaven. Let's just pray and cry out to God, declare the Word of God. Let's do it. If you want to kneel at your couch every day or by your bed every day, do it. Do it. But remember this. Quit being so religious about it and just talk to your Father. Talk to Him because He will hear you better than your earthly father ever did. And you can have the greatest dad in the world. My wife had the greatest dad in the world. But communicating with Heavenly Father is altogether different. I'm received before I ever ask the question. Number three, talk the Word. Now this is important. I'm not talking about just confessions. But say what God says anytime a spirit of infirmity attempts to enter your body. What does the Word say? By His stripes I have been healed. You're not welcome here. Nothing. Neither death nor life nor things present or things to come. Nothing's going to take away me from knowing my Father loves me too much for my body to be sick. Train yourself to talk to the answer and not the problem. Train yourself. Did you know that you can get angry today and decide you're going to get angry tomorrow and do that for several days and you will have trained yourself to get angry every day. Throw things through your window, kick the couch, kick the whatever. You can train yourself to do that. Did you know you can train yourself to talk the Word, talk the answer, not the problem? If you keep talking the problem then begins to be lifted up, to begin to be exalted in your life. Number four, this is a tough one. Testify the answers to others. Well, I get to the doctor today, and the doctor says, I have cancer. I just wanted you to know. I don't know how much longer I have to live, but I just want to tell you about it. Now, I'm not saying we don't do that, especially with family, but what I'm saying is that why not call someone and they say, how did it go to the doctor? Jesus says I'm healed. I know this is crazy talk to some folks, but that fits me real good, so I'm okay with that. What you say is what you get, or at least what you keep. I believe I'm healed. I believe you're healed. So I'm keeping it. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. How many of you ever done this? When I have touched my voice, I'm just so sick. I just felt good. They asked me that, and I said, I'm not the sick trying to get healed. Well, I remember a couple of years ago, or a year ago, I think I had mononucleosis. Remember that? What was that? 8, 12 weeks, something? No voice. And I'm on the internet. I'm testifying to people. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed because God said so. You say that's dumb. It works. If it's dumb, I'm going to keep doing it. Okay, I want to ask you to do something with me. We've got about 10 minutes. Let's take about 3 just do this with you. I want to lead you in a healing proclamation. Now, all I want you to do is just repeat after me, and let's just do this. It's a couple of paragraphs, 3 paragraphs long, but it's not really that bad. Just take a couple of minutes for us to do. Would you do that with me? It may do you some good. If later on you say, I like that, I've had people say, would you email that to me? I'd be glad to. But just say this with me this morning. Healing is mine. Because Jesus said it's mine. So I exercise authority. And I say to my body, you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Even if you don't feel healed, if you don't sound healed, if you don't look healed, God says you are healed. And I agree with God. So I release healing anointing into every part of my body. And folks, you can do this by laying hands on your body wherever you need to. And say this, I speak to pain. And I command you to go. In the name of Jesus. I speak to arthritis. I speak to stiff joints. You must go now. In the name of Jesus. And I speak to headache pain. I speak to a scratchy throat. I speak to a runny nose. I speak to an upset stomach. I speak to every achy joint in my body, which may not be properly working right now. I speak to my toes, to my feet, to my legs, to my ribs, to my heart, to my lungs, to every flu symptom. And I declare you are healed. And you function in line with the Word of God, which is God's will. I have authority over my body. You be healed right now. I decree it by the authority provided by the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. Healing be in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I did this kind of stuff for years, trying to change my thinking into something different than it was. Amen. God bless you. I'm done.